But I appreciate the spirit of the Lord that I feel in this conference. I wish Brother Ewing would have just continued to preach. I don't think I've ever heard any greater preaching than I've been privileged to hear in this conference. I don't know how any of us could go home. Now, I know we're going to be mentally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. And it's impossible to digest everything that we have heard. That is why I want to buy the tapes and spend many hours reviewing some of the unbelievable concepts that we have heard preached. We have heard men preach from their heart. Amen. I thank God for that. Now, I'm going to be short-winded. I'm one that abides by the clock. But you know what? I've got to say, even though that I abide by the principle of redeeming the time, I am glad for every minute I have invested in hearing these men of God preach. Amen. Praise God. I think that we've all come here possibly with different types of situations in our churches and maybe problems that we're looking for answers for. I was reading in the newspaper the other day, it told the story of a man who decided to take up skydiving, invested in his first lesson, and the inevitable day came when he would take that first jump. And when he jumped out of the plane, the worst of his fears became a reality because his chute would not open. And while he was plunging earthward, he met a man that was coming up. And while he was going down, he looked at the man that was coming up and said, "Hey, buddy, do you know anything about parachutes?" The guy that was going up said, "No, do you know anything about butane stoves?" We've all got our problems. Amen. Hopefully, something will happen to us in this conference that will help us to go to our diverse backgrounds and have revival. I thank God for the Mangans. I thank God for Brother Anthony, even though he's been picked on a lot this week. Everything that's gone right, I don't know who gets the credit for it, but I know who's gotten the credit for everything that's gone wrong. I appreciate Brother Williams and Brother Mangan, Brother Kilgore sponsoring this conference. Let me read to you just one verse of Scripture. Mark chapter 8. And verse 15, I want to read to you the words of Jesus and preach to you for just a few moments. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." There are a lot of people who say, "I would rather have the words of Jesus." I'm reading to you the words of Jesus. In a warning, he says, "Beware of the leaven or the doctrine of the Pharisees." And in the same phrase, he mentions the leaven or the doctrine of Herod. I would like to speak to you for a few moments on the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod. Leaven can best be defined as a foreign agent that moves through a substance causing gradual change. Jesus warned many times in his ministry of the different types of leaven that he was opposed to. He spoke one time about the leaven of the Sadducees, which was anti-supernaturalism. The Sadducees were anti-supernaturalists. They did not believe in the supernatural manifestation of a supreme being. And we can trace the roots basically of secular humanism to the doctrine of the leaven of Sadduceeism. In Luke chapter 12, he defined very clearly and definitely what the leaven of the Pharisees was. He says, he claims that it is hypocrisy. I don't think there's anything more loathsome or distasteful to God or to the people of God than hypocrisy. Several times during this meeting in the course of the different beautiful messages that we have heard preached, ministers have alluded to Phariseeism. I think it's time that we took a good look at Phariseeism to understand some of the concepts of Phariseeism, because Jesus warned against the leaven or the doctrine of the Pharisees. It's nothing new. Let me read you something that Martin Luther said about hypocrisy. He said, "The standard by which all hypocrisy is judged is not how long the soldier has been on the battlefield, but rather the soldier's position on that battlefield. If we perform all the duties of a soldier, yet flinch at that point of the enemy's current attack, we are not confessing Christ, regardless of how boldly we might be professing Christ. It matters not the longevity of your servitude, but where is the location in 1986 of your servitude? Jesus said, beware of the leaven of hypocrisy. And I'm not going to be preaching to you for the next 15 or so minutes on hypocrisy, because we all know how distasteful the ways of the Pharisees were. But he mentioned the leaven or the doctrine of Herod in the same phrase. This leads me to believe that evidently the leaven of Herod is a tributary from the mainstream of Phariseeism. It is a byproduct of a Pharisaical spirit. Now, there have been different applications and different interpretations of possibly what Jesus meant. But when you study Herod, there's only one thing that you can really say about this man. He was a baby killer. He was a baby killer. I want you to read in the Word of God about this devious-minded man that we call Herod. The Bible says that when he heard that the child ruler had been born, he requested diligently the date of the birth of the Christ child. And this is what he said. He said, I too want to go worship him. He was a hypocrite. He didn't want to worship him, but he used the vehicle of hypocrisy to gain information to fulfill a devious plot that he had. He referred to him as the child ruler. What was he saying? In essence, he realized that there was a danger in this babe that had been born in Bethlehem's manger of taking authority that had been his for a number of years. And so what he did when he found out the date of the child ruler, in his mind, he said, there's only one way that I can get to that child. I've got to kill everything that stands between me and him. I don't know who he is, and I don't know where he is, but I'm going to go to Bethlehem, and I'm going to kill every child 2 years and under. And anybody that stands in the way is going to get killed. And that's just exactly what he did. What was Jesus saying with the Kilgore? He was saying this. While you're being beware of the doctrine or the leaven of the Pharisees, be careful lest there arise from amongst you a spirit that prevents the young from growing. I want you to hear me. I've got some things that I want to say that maybe I shouldn't say, but I'm going to say them anyway, because I live in Tennessee. Praise God, and I can go home. Herod was not powerful enough to prevent the birth of the Christ child. So he said, I'll see if I'm powerful enough to prevent the growth of the Christ child. He couldn't stop him from being born, but he said, I'm going to see if I can't stop him from growing. The doctrine of Herod is a spirit that surfaces in our churches that wants to destroy something that God wants to grow. We've talked a lot about revival in this meeting, and I want to tell you something. I don't know a lot about it, as much as I want to know about it. I don't want you to think that I've got all the answers to revival. We come looking for answers. But there's one thing that I do know. I believe that revival has already been born in the church. I believe revival is trying to grow in the church. We've been talking about when is revival coming and where is revival. I believe revival has already been born. Hallelujah. There's always been an alarming statistic in our church. We lose so many people. It seems that there are some churches that have no problem with praying people through, but they have a problem with discipling people. They have a problem with keeping them. Many times people come into our churches and they receive this beautiful experience, and they accept our doctrine even though they don't understand all of it. And we throw them out in the midst of a congregation. It's sink or swim. We don't offer to them the proper tools they need to become discipled and strong. They're not exposed to a proper atmosphere of growth. And so we lose them. Now there's a twofold meaning here. And I've seen this happen in churches that I have pastored, in churches I've evangelized in. It seems like every time somebody comes out of a baptistry and every time somebody walks out of an altar with the Holy Ghost fresh in their heart, there's a saint of God that's been in the way for 50 years that tells them, now that you got the Holy Ghost, let me tell you what you got to do. Not what you get to do. Not the opportunities. But let me tell you something. We've got people in our churches that think there's going to be magic in that water. When you baptize a lady with short hair, she ought to come out with long hair. If that's the truth, we could sell it to Brother Mitchell. Baptize him again. Amen. Hallelujah. There's always some frustrated, hypocritical, pharisaical, self-righteous person who wants to attack somebody that's young, somebody that's a babe, and try to inflict upon them all of their idiosyncrasies and all of their hidden hurts and pains. When, friend of mine, when those babes come forth from our altars, we should handle them like newborn babes. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Amen. There's a leaven. There's a doctrine of Herod that wants to kill the young, prevent the young from growing, destroy the principles of growth that should be existing in our churches. Now, I'm not talking about compromise. I don't feel like I have to qualify myself for what I'm saying. I'm not talking about abandoning any of the principles that have brought us to where we are. I went through that at one time in my ministry. I thought that I had all the answers. I thought that I was right and everybody else was wrong. And then all of a sudden, one day, I found out that perhaps I was right circumstantially, but I was wrong in principle. It doesn't matter how much circumstantial evidence you present to justify your position. If you're wrong in principle, you're wrong. And you need to submit. I'm not talking about submitting, but I'm talking about a friend of mine this afternoon about allowing you and I, preventing in our churches a leaven, a doctrine that gets into our people, that creates an atmosphere that prevents the young and the Lord from growing. Hallelujah. There's a spirit. They come to us. And someone said, why don't you go to that Pentecostal church anymore? He said, because I've been before. That's why I don't go back. They don't treat it. There's not the atmosphere that needs to be there. There's too much criticism. There's too much cynicism. There's too many spirits that launch out to attack you and they prevent you from growing. Now, I'm talking about saints in churches. And sometimes it emerges through preachers and through preachers' wives. And we've come to open our hearts. We've come to call black, black, and white, white. Why don't we tell it like it is right now? Jesus said, don't let that spirit in. Beware of it. It will prevent your churches from growing. It will prevent you from having revival. It will destroy your young. It will prevent my will from being God. So Jesus warned against it. Brother Williams, would you get Job 39? And would you begin reading at verse 13? There's a very beautiful scripture that emerges here in reference to what I'm saying. About the young. Would you read that? Amen. You know where Job is? Can I help you? It's in the Old Testament. Amen.
My pages were stuck.
All right.
Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich?
The ostrich.
Which leaveth her eggs in the earth. And warmeth them in dust.
In dust.
And forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding.
Verse 16 says she is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Amen. as though they were not hers. I want to tell you, when people get the Holy Ghost in your altars and when they get baptized in your baptistry, they belong to you, friend of mine. They're a product of you. They're a product of your ministry. They're a product of your testimony. They're a product of your preaching. They're a product of your worship. And they are the most precious, valuable commodity in the church. When those people receive the Holy Ghost, you owe them the best of attention. Hallelujah. Don't treat them like an ostrich treats her young. She buries her eggs in shallow sand. And the horses come along and the wild beasts come along and the eggs are crushed. And it doesn't bother her. Because she doesn't have wisdom. No understanding. She hardens her heart against her own young as though they were not even hers. Jesus says, watch out for the leaven of that baby. When you stand for revival, preacher, when you stand for revival, saint of God, when you stand for revival, preacher's wife, you stand in the line of fire of the devil. The devil has his eyes set. His goal set on destroying revival in the United Pentecostal Church. When you take a stand for revival, when you take a stand for evangelism, when you take a stand for reaching out to a lost and dying world, you are in the devil's line of fire. And what he says, I don't care what it takes or what I have to do to get to that revival. If you stand in the way, I'll kill you. I'll destroy you. It's not going to happen because of meetings just like this and ministries that we've heard. We've heard wisdom. We've heard the wisdom of our brother Urson, of our brother Kilgore, of our brother Dees. We've heard the enthusiasm of our Wayne Huntleys. And we've heard the burdens of our Merle Ewings and the intelligence of our Tom Fred Tennies. We've had the word of God minister to us. We're not going to fail. The doctrine of Herod is not going to overtake us. Why? Because we're awakening to the reality that revival is alive. It's in the church. It's right here for you and I and all whosoever will. Let's praise him right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Athaliah was a wicked, self-appointed queen ruler. When her son Ahaziah died, there were seven obstacles that stood between she and the throne, her own grandsons. This precious woman sought out six and had them slain. She looked for number seven. She couldn't find him. Do you know why? Because he was in the house of the Lord, the last place where a wicked woman would ever think to look. And for over six years, she flaunted her carnality. And she paraded up and down the streets saying, there will be no revival. I'm going to have my way. God's will is not going to be done. I have cleared access to the throne. All obstacles are removed from my pathway. But there's one place that she never frequented. And so she didn't know what was on the inside, and that was the house of God. And while she was flaunting her carnality, there was a priest named Jehoiada who was being patient. He realized the child was not ready. And year after year, he waited patiently within the confines of the church, thinking that she had clear access to the throne. But there was alive in the house of God the last link to God's chain of anointing succession. Revival was alive in the house of the Lord. I want everybody here to understand one thing. While we've been groping and searching and straining to find revival, it's been alive where it's always been, right here in the house of the Lord. It's alive right here and right now. Hallelujah. Every preacher, every child of God, I want to tell you, you can have revival. If a Vesta Magnet can come to Memphis, Tennessee and get a hold of one lady. Last year, 23 people out of one Bible study were filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Because of one lady. Now we have over 30 Bible studies a week going as a result of what you said to us, Sister Mangan, over a year and a half ago in our church. Revival is alive, not only in Alexandria, not only in Memphis, not only in Houston. Revival is alive within the framework of the church of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. We look around us sometimes and we see carnality flaunting itself around us, and we get so critical. People that we do not understand, we criticize and we ostracize. And sometimes we have chased our young to other churches to find warmth and love. They don't find the patience in our churches. They don't find the love in our churches. They don't find the understanding and the wisdom in our churches. So they go somewhere else that doesn't have the fullness of the gospel, but they've learned how to love, and they feel that love, and people respond to love. Newborn babies need love. Hallelujah. And critical spirits and assassinating spirits and jealous spirits. Herod was jealous because the child ruler was going to take his authority. I wonder how many people in our churches are in authoritative positions and positions of authority. But every time somebody plays through with a little talent, they wonder, is this person going to take my place? I've seen them slaughtered. I've seen them slain because of jealous people that did not want to give their authority to somebody new coming in. God forbid the leaven of the doctrine of Herod take over our churches, and we get so critical and so analytical and so cynical and so full of envy and jealousy and competition that we won't make room for the newborn babes that God wants to bring into our altars. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Like it or not, it's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. We've got so many self-appointed shares of the laws of God. When God looks down into the auditorium of the earth, there's a lot of hands on the thermostat. A lot of hands. Oh, it's too hot. No, it's not. It's too cold. We've got a lot of self-appointed shares. You think the whole burden of the world is resting on their shoulders. It's not on your shoulders alone. Who do you think you are? The Bible says if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, call the district superintendent. Then if you're spiritual, you'll restore that person. The next verse says, bear ye one another's burdens. And then you fulfill the laws of Christ. I want to tell you how you become a share in God's county. You find somebody that's fallen by the wayside and overtaken by a fault. And you bend over and say, I know that load's too heavy for one man to carry, so let's put two shoulders under it. And see if we can't lift that load a little bit until God gets ready to take the cross off your back. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah. 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 We talk about light. This experience begins with a divine revelation. We continue to walk with divine illumination. The light. The light has nothing to do with doctrine. The light has nothing to do with preaching. The Bible says if you say you love your brother, if you say that you walk in the light, but you hate your brother, you're in darkness. But if you love your brother, you abide in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in you. Why do people fall? I want to tell you why. The light goes out. You turn the lights out in this building right now. If it was nighttime and you turn all the lights out, the aisles that are so familiar, we would become creatures of darkness. And we would not be able to find our way. We would stumble over things we normally walk around. When you get hatred in your heart, or when you get jealousy or envy in your heart against your brother, I don't care how much doctrine you've had pumped into your gut, the light goes out. And you'll fall over something you walked around for 20 years.
That's right, brother.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When I see my brother overtaken, I've got to bend down on one knee with a rex and say, come on, let's put two shoulders to it. I've got to keep the light on. I've got to keep the light on because revival is happening now in the church. Hallelujah. Let's praise him right now. I feel the Spirit of God. moving in such a marvelous way. Hallelujah. 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 Fowl migrate to the south in the wintertime, not because they're creatures of warmth, but because they're creatures of light. They want to go to the place where the days are the longest. They're not just seeking for warmth. They're seeking for the land where things can be clearly defined. God help us. God help us in this hour to become a productive part of what God is doing in our churches. I want every preacher, every pastor, every precious evangelist, every leader I know, revival is within the framework of this great church. It's alive. There came a day when little Joash was inaugurated. And Athaliah heard about it. And boy, she finally decided to go to church. Because he was getting ready to lose some authority. Amen. Praise God. I know there's some people that hold offices in churches. You won't find them in revival time, but business meeting time, they'll be there. Amen. When it comes time to have prayer meetings to talk about revival or Bible studies or bus ministry, they'll be at home. But come business meeting, they're going to voice their opinion. They want to make sure there's no new people that's coming to church in the last year to take my job. So she finally decided to come to church, Brother Jeff. And that's one trip she probably wished she'd have never made. Because there was an old priest that had 6.5 or 7 years in his gut. He said, I'm not taking any more off that old witch. We're fixing to have revival around here. And if she comes in here, you grab her by the hair of the head and don't kill her in here. Preachers, don't kill them in the church. Get them outside the church. Amen. They dragged her outside the church and killed her. And the little boy came forth, leader, revival. I'm telling you, there's a child of revival been trying to grow in the ranks of the United Pentecostal Church. And what we're doing here, it's time to bring him forth. Bring him forth. Hallelujah. If you want revival in your church, if you want revival in your life, if you want revival in your ministry, I want you to stand to your feet right now and lift both of your hands and say, God, revival is here. Revival is here. Revival is here. Revival is here. Oh, hallelujah. I love my brother. I love my leaders. I love what God is doing. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I can feel that revival. It's alive in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands and love the Lord.